He was a type of competitor and player. When he ran on the field, it tilted in his team's favor.
He's on the run. He's got a man open.
Touchdown!
Perfect throw by Brett Favre.
Nothing short of amazing.
Proved again what a terrific player he is.
If you want to study Brett Favre's career, just watch the first game he played.
You always knew he could make that throw that a lot of quarterbacks couldn't.
There's a man. He's wide open. Touchdown. Kittrick Taylor. Great pass by Favre.
Ty Detmer would always say, I would never make that throw. Where I would say, what's the big deal?
I'd be on the sidelines yelling, no, no, no. And he'd throw it and I'd go, yes, yes. Because it worked.
I wasn't one of those that loved to play when things were good. I loved to play regardless.
He came into the locker room and he fit in with everybody.
He played the game a certain way for competition, for enjoyment, for the fans, for his teammates.
Laughing, crying, blocking, whatever. I just wanted to play.
In my 38 years, he is the best player I've ever been around.
He helped resurrect a franchise that had been in the doldrums for 24 years. I just don't think we can ever thank him enough for his contributions to the Green Bay Packers.
Ron Wolf has been given control and given a five-year contract to bring the Packers back to prominence.
I'm here to assure Packer fans that I will be doing everything in my power to make this football team a consistent contender and NFL champion once again.
He comes here with full authority to run the football operation. Every major football decision will be made by Ron Wolf.
Vince Lombardi came in 59 and rescued a franchise that was in turmoil and made it great. And Ron Wolf did the same thing in 1991 and did it in a hurry. We brought Ron in to be introduced as our new general manager on like a Tuesday or Wednesday. And he had some scouting assignments left for the New York Jets. And he says, Bob, I'm going to go finish my scouting assignments. You're in Atlanta Sunday. He said, I'll meet you at Atlanta. So I'm in the press box early on Sunday morning waiting for him. And he comes up, puts a briefcase down next to me, and he says, I'm going to go watch Atlanta's backup quarterback. If his arm is still as strong as it was coming out of college, we're going to go after it. I took the flip card to find out who Atlanta's quarterback was. I thought it was a guy named Favre. Ron came back probably within 15, 20 minutes and says, we're going to make a trade for Brett Favre. The decision was made that day.
I was so excited about having an opportunity to get Brett Favre. I can't say he's the most physically gifted. I'll say this, as far as throwing the football, he was perfect.
We gave up the 17th pick, as you know, for this. One thing we're basing most of this on is what we saw in college. I think he's a tremendous leader. And that in itself will really help us down the road.
I realize I'm a Green Bay Packer now, and I'm happy. Maybe I can prove that I am worth the first-round pick next year, but in time you will see that I am. You just got to be patient and give me time, because I promise I can be the man eventually.
Let's face it, I tied my career to Brett Favre. We're like connected at the hip, so to speak.
I knew a lot about Green Bay just from being a history buff and just a fan of the game. Couldn't really tell you where it was. I knew it was cold and it was up north. But I have to admit, maybe other guys would have been like, oh, brother. I was excited. I really was excited. And this is even before I knew when they had been to the playoffs, who their starting quarterback was, who their head coach was. I just wanted to play. And I was not going to get that opportunity in Atlanta anytime soon. So I knew this when I was traded for a first-round pick, and I was drafted in the second round. That was a good thing. I wasn't the smartest guy around, but I knew that this is a great opportunity, and I am not going to let it slip away.
Is it true the Packer doctors failed you on your physical, and Dr. Wolf came down and unfailed you in short order? Was that true?
No, it's true. It's true. I had was thought to be a vascular necrosis.
I called Pat McKenzie. It was something involving his hip. And Pat said during the course of our conversation that he could probably play about 4 years. Well, all I heard was about 4 years. That's when I got up, walked down, and told him we're going to pass the guy.
I was examined, scrutinized. I was told how long I would play, what was to be expected, how long before I had a hip replacement, all these things. Well, heck, I didn't know. I knew that it was a problem, not all the time. And over time, that problem became more infrequent. And I knew my mentality that I could overcome anything. And so Ron was on my side, and I had the right guy on my side. And I can say it now, he picked the right guy, because there was nothing that was going to stop me.
How raw were you, Brett, when you came to Green Bay?
And looking back, had you asked me that question right away, I would have thought, you know, I'm ready. And I think that's part of the beauty of my success is that naive mentality. But as I look back, Mike Holmgren had his work cut out for him. He left a great organization that winning was nothing. And playing the quarterback position was the way it was supposed to be played. And he obviously was a coach that. He had Joe Montana, he had Steve Young. Then he gets me, who here's a guy that could throw it as far as anyone, could throw it through anything. And that was good, but that was the problem. Why read anything when you can throw it through them? I can remember us sitting in meetings, and very rarely does a head coach sit in there with you, but Mooch would be watching, we'd watch film, and if I knew if it was a suspect game and Mike was in there, it wasn't good. And he would say, what are you looking at here? What are you looking at here? Why'd you make that throw? And Mooch just kind of sat there, and Ty Detmer and Brunell, they would always be laughing, kicking me under the table. Why'd you make that throw? And I was not being sarcastic, but it came across that way. I said, because I can. And that was the truth. So how do you curtail that? How do you, there's a time and place, you know, pick your spots and do those things. And it was always a work in progress, but finding a way to manage me and make it work and harness this talent. That's why Mike Holmgren is the best coach that I've ever played for.
He was a supremely talented young guy who had no fear when he played the position and really believed that it didn't matter what the circumstances were, he could do this against that. So my job was to kind of allow him to be the gunslinger he was, but try and mold it just a little bit to get all the good stuff and kind of eliminate some of the bad stuff.
Touchdown, Packers!
At this play.
Mike was hard on Brett, all the quarterbacks. He had very little patience for that position to be efficient. I don't think he cared if it was Brett or someone else. I think he just expected that position to play very well. He was really from scratch, everything that we did with Brett.
I knew what we had. And the faster I could get him to do what I thought he needed to do, that was going to mean everything to our team, to the city of Green Bay. So yeah, I pushed hard. And I want to give him credit, Brett credit, because it's not easy for a talented guy like that who has had success playing the game a certain way. He became a very, very efficient quarterback. He still made these plays no one else can make.
He is there, it is sharp. Touchdown, Packers.
But once he learned the offense and knew the offense, boy, he was hard to stop.
If you want to study Brett Favre's career, just watch the first game he played. Because really, it gives you a synopsis of everything the guy was capable of doing. He fumbled the ball. He did the wrong thing on audibles. He made some fantastic throws.
He won the game.
Here's Favre. Favre goes straight back in the pocket. Now he pumps it. Now he's going to the end zone. There's a man.
He's wide open. Touchdown. It is caught. Kittrick Taylor has scored it. Oh, my goodness.
Was it lucky? Yes. Was it awesome? Yes. Was it crazy? Yes. Was it bad things? Of course. Was it everything in his career that we saw over 16 years in Green Bay happened in that game, you know? And so that was a good start. And then, what, 320-some games later, he's doing the same things.
I can think of no finer moment than in 1992 that pass to Kittrick Taylor. That kid came in there and threw that pass, and a new legend emerged.
Would you say you're proudest of the 321 straight games?
That's the only one that really matters. What drove me was, oh, Brett, he'll be there.
We have a chance today if he's getting dressed.
And that's what I thought about. There's no way I'm letting him down now.
Brett, of all the things, all the skins you have on the wall, and they're considerable, would you say you're proudest of the 321 straight games?
That's the only one that really matters, and I hate to even say that one even matters because I don't want to come across as being a stat guy. But to me, that's not really a stat. Stat is completion percentage, touchdowns. None of that happens without you playing. And anyone who's played, of course, you're one of those, anyone who knows anything about the game has to scratch their head like I do and say, damn, that guy is not only tough, but he has got to be half loony. No one does that. No one wants to do that.
Of course, there were many close calls over the course of the streak, but none closer than in 95. When the Packers played the Vikings just 58 games into it.
Chimera into the backfield for the Packers and comes in motion to the right. Here's Favre on second down. Quick pattern over the middle. Knocked away from Mark Ingram.
Uh-oh, Favre is limping pretty badly here.
Yeah, he is. You're right.
His own man fell on his ankle.
Brett is down on the ground and he's hurting badly.
Sometimes you get players, guys listed on the injury report, you're never quite sure. But I saw his ankle and he was really hurt. And he did not practice all week.
I've had sprained ankles. I go over to his ankle, Larry, and it looks like a rainbow. It got some purples, some red, some yellow in there. And Doc McKenzie is just kind of squeezing on it. And he's just looking, and he should be in pain.
He had it in a wrap like crazy, in a boot. It was almost like a cast because it had to be so tight. Right from the start, it was like, hey, he can't. There's no way he's going to get ready to play. We're hoping to get him back in a week or two or three.
Saturday before the game, the trainers are coming up to me. He's coming up. I think I might be able to go. I said, well, you haven't practiced all week, you know. And I know players like him, they can always go. You go, look, here's what we'll do. Tomorrow we'll see how it feels. You wrap it up. If you can go tomorrow, then you'll play. He was hurt, and he did not practice. It was remarkable.
Favre back in the pocket. Seems to be running all right. Screen play to Bennett. Bennett opened up the 15 to the 10. To the 5. Touchdown, Green Bay.
Here's Favre. Play action. Brooks, short drop. Comes up over the middle. It's caught Brooks 10. Brooks at the 5. Touchdown.
Well, play action fake. They're going to throw it into the end zone. 11. Touchdown.
Favre with an out pattern out there. Robert Brooks. It hung up. He got away. He's going to score, Brooks.
Here's Favre. Straight back. Now he wants to roll to the right. He's coming back with the screen to the left edge of Bennett.
And the Packers have had a fifth touchdown pass thrown by Brett Favre.
Yeah, my ankle was really, really beat up. But had I looked back and was able to, you know, to offer myself advice, I probably would have said, you need to sit this one. You know, it's hard enough on two good ankles.
You went out 25 or 33, 336 yards, 5 TDs, and you needed every one of them, 35-28 victory.
Dang, I forgot that, Larry. I really did. I knew it was a good game, but dang, Brett, you were actually pretty decent.
Really good. Maybe I should have played Hurt more often. Everything worked in spite of my body. It didn't really work. And that was the beauty of like when I played injured. I don't know if I can think of a time when I played injured where I played bad. That was kind of the springboard really to so I could do this for the rest of my career.
I would walk through the locker room in the middle of the week sometimes, and he could hardly walk. He was so bruised from the previous Sunday. And yet, Sunday afternoon, he'd come running out of the tunnel ready to give this franchise and its fans everything he could.
Bad ankles, he's got bad hips, he's got bad shoulders, bad hands. He's playing. And I think that sets a tenor for everybody else.
The majority of guys watched what he did and said, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. The guys played longer than anybody else on the team. Get out there and play.
To accomplish to do that for 20 years, not miss a game, including playoffs, I mean, you'll never see that again.
Now think about it. Everybody's missed a game. Never missed a game. If he's getting dressed, okay, guys, we got a chance today. That's all we ask. That's all God tells you. We have a chance today if he's getting dressed. And he knew it too.
I loved to play, I really did. Doing it with my teammates, laughing, crying, blocking, whatever was important to me. It really was. And over time, when I became injured, and it was threatening to maybe the next week. What drove me was, oh, Brett, he'll be there. And that's what I thought about. And I said, there's no way I'm letting him down now. My dad, that's what was important to him, football.
He stood in front of all of us, strawberry-faced, crying, emotional, and he told us, my dad would want me to play.
There's no other place I would have rather have been than in Oakland, preparing for that game.
We always heard, well, the Favres, they pitchers and quarterbacks because their daddy's the coach. Yeah, that's true. Urban worked them three times as much. They had to run this road every evening when they got home. They had to do sit-ups before they went to bed. He made them work.
Irv loved his kids, and he loved football, and he loved Hancock North Central football. And the competitiveness to him was, we're going to be successful. We're going to do whatever it takes to do that. That's probably the part of him that maybe went into Brett as much as anything, is that I'm going to do whatever it takes to be successful.
I watched him and his daddy go head to head. Irvin would call a play, Brett run something else. And it didn't matter if he made a touchdown. He didn't do what his daddy told him, you know, and they'd be nose to nose.
What was a dinner table like with coach please. And players at the same dinner
not
table.
Not only dinner, riding home from school, and, you know, we both taught there. And I'd say, look, couldn't you just leave it on the field? Let us eat in peace? Or what? But it was constant. Constant.
The success you had, how much of it had to do with your mom and your dad and the coaches and a house full of brothers? I mean, how much of that played a role, do you think, in all that success?
I think that more than anything is the reason that I was successful. In our household, there was no room for sissies. I mean, it just, believe me, there was times where I tried to act hurt, or maybe I was a little hurt. Maybe I remember one time in particular, I slid in the second base. I must have been 10 or 11. And I think I was thrown out. So I laid there like I was hurt. And I can remember my dad, the scolding that I took on the field was way worse than getting out. And I just remember learning a valuable lesson that if you ain't hurt, don't act like it, you know. And there were many other times that actually maybe I needed a little compassion or a pat on the back, but I wasn't going to get it.
Ball carried in for a touchdown.
Running the wing tee, running the wishbone does not showcase the talent. It does not
say anything about passing. From the outside looking in, if you go back, you would think that he was doing everything wrong. I think he just did what he was doing, and we're just going to play. I'm going to teach him toughness, and there's a lot more important things than just completing 30 passes a game. It was a great environment that obviously worked for me and taught me a lot of things that at the time maybe my dad and definitely myself had no clue that it was shaping me for the type of player I would be later, because you would think if you never throw, this is not good, Irvin. Your son's not going to have many opportunities, which I didn't, but it did work out.
On December 21st, 2003, Irvin Favre, Brett's father and coach, died suddenly of a heart attack. Brett got the news in Oakland the day before the Packers were scheduled to play the Raiders on Monday Night Football.
You can imagine, it's sort of like when I was traded. I didn't know what to, you know, I was like, what? There was no talk about playing or not playing at that point. It was just kind of, I don't know, consoling, but yet still not believing, you know, just what in the world is going on here? And Mike Sherman was awesome. That team was awesome. There's no other place I would have rather have been in Oakland, preparing for that game.
So my instinct as a family member is do whatever I need to do to support him. If he says he's flying home to Mississippi, no problem, we got this. We'll take care of the Raiders.
Well, I know Coach said if you need him home, he can come. I said his daddy would kick that dirt so far if he didn't play in that game.
I remember speaking to the team. I couldn't even tell you what I said. I just remember it was hard. It was really hard.
He stood in front of all of us, strawberry-faced, crying, emotional, and he told us, my dad would want me to play. He wouldn't want me to sit out. He would want me here. So, guys, I'm going to be here with you.
And, yeah, was I choked up? I was choked up. Did I have to talk? No, I didn't. I remember Mike saying, you don't have to do this. And I think one of the things I said is, I hope you have my back. More than any other time in my career, I need it. In 20 years, I've never had any pressure that comes close to what I felt prior to that game.
Everybody was on the same page. Everybody knew what needed to be done on Monday night.
Favre has time, waiting, looks, rainbows deep down the right sideline.
Yes!
Ferguson over the shoulder catch. He's got it. What a throw by Brett Favre.
The focus was that much tighter because I think we wanted to do it for Brett.
Favre fakes the handoff, bootlegs right, throws the right side of the end zone. Got Walker, touchdown.
We just clicked on all cylinders that night. Whatever Brett threw up there, it came down in the Packers' hand.
I remember Wesley Walls making maybe one of the greatest catches of his career.
Guns the left side of the end zone, and it's diving grab. Oh, what a play.
That ball could be thrown in one spot, and that's just where it was.
It was just one of those special nights where you really looked around and said, there is an angel around here somewhere doing something. I mean, it was truly a phenomenal night.
You get the spikes on the arms because you feel back to that emotion and how impressive that performance was.
We are seeing a special performance tonight by Brett Favre and his receiving corps.
Another chapter in the legend is written tonight.
I felt Brett would have a mediocre game, you know, right down the middle or so. Nothing really bad, but nothing great. But what happened, it's still unbelievable.
I always wanted to play great, but you have no idea. This game will always carry more weight, more meaning than any other one, for obvious reasons. And it just happened to be on the biggest stage at that time that it possibly could be on. There was no question I needed to play. I mean, you knew my dad. I mean, you know, people say that, but, you know, about their situation. But my dad, that's what was important to him, football. And by no means would he say, don't play. I wish I had my dad back. but it could not have played out any better considering the circumstances. When you think of Packer football, what do you think of? Ice bowl, you know, just cold, the smoke's coming out. Bart Starr, Vince Lombardi, just tremendous teams, championships. That's what you remember. Well, there had been a huge lull, obviously, since those times. And that's what everyone was hanging on. They went to the games, you know, they cooked bratwurst, they drank beer and all this, but it was always talking about those days.
From the time Vince Lombardi left in 1968 until the time Ron Wolf arrived in 1991, this franchise struggled terribly. You know, fortunately, most people have forgotten what it was like in the 70s and 80s, but I was here. I went through those years. I know what it was like.
Everybody said this place was dead. This place would never be resurrected. It wasn't a better moment for me personally. 1996, when we won the NFC Championship in Lambeau Field.
Here's Brett Favre, back to throw. He looks out of time, going to the end zone. There's Dorsey Levin. Touchdown, Dorsey! Brett, straight back in the pocket. Quick drop, goes to the outside. There's a fade, it's there. Touchdown on Antonio Freeman. And a perfect throw by Brett Favre. Here's a play-action fake handoff. Second guy, Bennett.
Whoa.
Walked into the end zone. Edgar Bennett with a hole on the right side that you could drive a truck to the Super Bowl through. Man, we've waited a long time, folks. The Packers are on their way to New Orleans for Super Bowl 31.
Hey, Green Bay, how about this? Guess where we're going?
To have that feeling and that experience, to be able to go through that in front of our fans here in historic Lambeau Field, the cathedral of the National Football League, to me, that's my biggest thrill here.
I can't even explain how I feel. I remember telling this crowd and telling the media before we started the season we were going to a Super Bowl. In 2 weeks, we'll be in New Orleans.
Here we are, finally back to what Packer football should be. That was really the start of a new beginning and the way it should be.
Brett Favre has proved again what a terrific player he is.
I tell you, nobody more deserving than
Brett's
Brett
going home.
Super Bowl 31 played in New Orleans at the Superdome. How big was that for you? I mean, a favorite son of the area, leading the Green Bay Packers to a Super Bowl championship.
Again, it's kind of like the right coaches and the right GM. You know, it just all fell in line, and it just was only fitting. I jokingly say this, but the only downside to that is I had to buy too many tickets. And I was way too tight.
Welcome to Super Bowl 31.
You played a lot of games. What do you remember about that one?
You know, I remember two things. Now, if I really sat here and dug deep, I probably could remember more. I remember the audible. I think I second played a game.
Here is the second down and nine. Brett Favre appears to be changing plays at the line of scrimmage. Two wide receivers right. Chimura is the tight end to the right, and back goes Brett to throw. Here they come. He's got time. He's throwing it downfield.
He's got him.
Wide open. It is going to be a touchdown to Andre Rison. Rison takes it across the goal line.
I think old Brett called the exact right audible for the situation there, Max.
Not only had I not completed that play all year, I hadn't even attempted or even talked to Andre about it. Had I been thinking about it right in the present moment, was able to stop and think about what I was actually doing, I probably would have thought, are you crazy? This ain't gonna work. But yet it did.
Look at Brett Favre coming off the field. He is so happy. His first pass goes for about 50 yards or more. What a great play.
That's when I come off the field holding my helmet, and people probably are like, oh, look, he's like, look at me. What I was saying is, it worked. It worked.
Well, I thought it was great, too. I mean, you know, because I used to tell any quarterback I've ever coached, and Brett was no different, that what the play I call, I really like. I like the play I called. So if you change it, that's okay. But your play had better work. It better work. But in the biggest game of his career up to that point, and mine, yeah, he saw something, a blitz. He went to a young guy who hadn't been with us very long. And, yeah, it was beautiful. When he came off, I remember I said, Nate, great call.
The one thing that trumps that is halftime. Mike comes in, and, you know, this is a long time ago. ZZ Top's playing the halftime show. Well, as soon as he goes to talk, I mean, he's getting ready to start chewing a little butt. Typical Mike, you know, his face is red. You know, here's what we got to do, man. All right, gather around. And like the next, and it's like they just, boom, the music just, it was deafening. They go into legs. You know, it sound, I mean, I think it was legs. I mean, it was just boom, boom, boom. And he's like. And I think like 30 seconds into it, he realized that no one could hear a word he was saying. I'm not even going to tell you what he mouthed. I think he mouthed. And I just thought to myself, I actually kind of thought going out that we're in trouble because we didn't really hear what adjustments we were going to make. He just kind of just, hell with it. And that was it. That was our halftime talk. So people, you know, may wonder, you know, what inspirational speech. It was Legs by ZZ Top.
The Vince Lombardi Trophy is coming home where it started. World champion, Green Bay Packers.
That foursome of Wolf and Holmgren and Favre and White, they get here. We start winning immediately. And 5 years later, they win the Super Bowl and bring the trophy back here for the first time in 29 years. The turnaround was not only solid, but it was so fast. We couldn't have done that without a Brett Favre quarterback.
I have no idea what's going to happen next, but it's going to be exciting.
He starts to run. I go, no. Didn't you not listen to a single thing I said?
Freeman trying to adjust to it, and it's incomplete.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute. Freeman picked it up.
One of the first people there was Brett Favre asking me, what are you doing? Did you catch the ball? Did you catch it?
He played differently than any quarterback I'd ever seen.
Blue, 58, 37.
Just some of his incredible play, some of the passes, you know, where, you know, he'd scramble around and looks like he's just kind of throwing the ball up, and, you know, but it's right on target.
Every snap that kid would take, everybody's on their, just on the edge of their chair going, I have no idea what's going to happen next, but it's going to be exciting.
There's always that always be ready mentality when you're with Favre because you never know when you're going to get the ball.
Would you say this about Brett? He completed passes that nobody could, but he also attempted passes that
nobody would. Yes and yes.
In Milwaukee County Stadium, I called our last timeout, and I think we're about on the 9-yard line, something like that. We have enough time for two pass plays. I said, there's two things that can't happen. You can't get sacked, and you can't run. He runs in there, runs the play. He doesn't throw the ball. And he starts to run. I go, no. And he scored by this much. Didn't you not listen to a single thing I said? He goes, I knew I could score. He goes, I knew I could get in. I go, okay. That was one of those games.
The Monday Night Miracle 2000 against the Minnesota Vikings. It is overtime.
Another moment where Favre improvises. I think Brett sees an all-out blitz. He changes the play. It appeared Chris Dishman made a pretty decent defensive play.
Freeman trying to adjust to it, and it's incomplete. Nearly intercepted by Chris Dishman.
But he didn't finish the play.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Freeman picked it up.
It bounced into his hands. He takes
touchdown,
it in the end zone.
We win.
Touchdown. Packers win.
I felt something tap my left shoulder, and then I see this brown object still on the decline. I was able to stick my hands out in enough time, cuff the ball, make my way into the end zone, and one of the first people there was Brett Favre. Asking me, what are you doing? Did you catch the ball? Did you catch it? And I said, yes, I caught it.
I don't think I can remember a player that seemed to enjoy playing as much as he did.
His ability to have fun and to be excited just to play the game. It doesn't matter if you're in the third grade or if you're an all-pro for the Green Bay Packers. I think it was the same for him. And I think people that have played the game appreciated that aspect of his game.
I loved to play. I really did. And so I didn't love to play. I wasn't one of those that loved to play when things were good. I loved to play regardless. If we were down by 21, I wanted the ball in my hands with a minute left. What are the chances of you winning it? I knew it was, but I wanted to keep going. I never saw the odds, whether they be in our favor or against. I loved the play.
We didn't care about the percentage left. We wanted the results. And if the results was 6 interceptions against the Rams, we'll live with that. Because we need that player. That's the player we need. We'll go get it back. That's why we had the number one defense. Use us. Make those throws. We'll go get it back. And we did get it back, and it worked great.
With Brett, that's the way he played. That's the way he practiced. He did everything that way, whether it was golf or it was hunting or whatever it was always to win, and it was always to be the best.
Brett drops back in the north end zone under severe pressure. Throws a bomb, and it goes for a 99-yard touchdown reception.
Brett kind of laughed. He said, you're not going to believe this, but Mike just called Sluggo. And it's like, and, you know, we had the saying, we would always say, let's eat. And that meant, you know, let's go make a play. Let's go make it happen. Let's go get it done. And so Brett and I looked at each other and said, let's eat. And the rest was history.
I talked about Brett leading us, putting the ball where we always wanted it. And I just remember flying. Feeling like I had wings flying over this guy. Coming up with the ball, I had to come down with it. And that's kind of the responsibilities our receivers felt whenever he threw us the ball. We all respected in him, and, you know, we loved him for his leadership. And he took us to a lot of places that we may not have ever been able to go to.
My legacy, I hope, is not determined by statistics. There was a little bit of everything. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But I was not afraid to take that chance. And, you know, had I not taken that chance on a lot of the times of my career, I'd have just been okay.
His thing is going to be the love of the game. The way he played and the way that he was always there and you could count on him, I think those are probably the two biggest pieces of his legacy.
Availability and accountability. I think if you're trying to teach a young guy how to be successful in the NFL, and you talk about availability, I mean, you just think of number four.
The moment was never too big for him. If anything, it made him a better player. Some guys kind of cower and don't want to be in that moment. But when you see that your leader is a take charge type of guy, you just pile on and say, hey, we're riding your back, take us there.
He played the game a certain way for sport, for competition, for enjoyment, for his teammates, for the fans. That's how he felt the game should be played. We need more of that.
He did things on the field that nobody has ever done before. Obviously, the 3 straight MVPs is incredible. He won a Super Bowl. But the starting streak is one that I don't think ever be touched again. That Iron Man reputation fits him really well.
Where would this city be without Brett Favre? I look at what the Green Bay Packer history is today, and I wonder where we would be had we not made that trade for number four.
He was a super talented guy who was a wild stallion. You know, I think on and off the field. It would have been maybe easier just to let him be. And he was like the son I never had. And I'm glad he's kind of forgiven me for how hard I was on him at times. But I did it because I love the guy.
We witnessed this wonderful place here, Lambeau Field, where the Packers play. And all the building that's done here and the reconfiguration around the stadium. I mean, that's all Brett Favre. Brett Favre brought a winning tradition back to to the Green Bay Packers. In my 38 years, he is the best player I've ever been around. I've been around some pretty good ones, but he is the best I've ever been around. You get one of those in a lifetime, and that was my one.
During Ron's long and illustrious and now Hall of Fame career, he said you were the greatest player he ever saw.
Well, you can give me medals, you can give me trophies, you can plaques, whatever, but I've always just been a player. And there's nothing that means more than to hear things like that, especially from a guy like Ron Wolf, who's seen some great players. As proud as he is of his decision, and I know of me, I'm equally as proud of him and also of the fact that I made him right. You know, that means something to me.
Brett, Hall of Fame, jersey retirements, things like that bring about talk of legacy. What do you care about?
My legacy, I hope, is not determined by statistics. I know this, that all those records will be broken. Maybe some later than others. Consecutive starts, maybe a little bit later.
maybe
never. So there was a little bit of everything. There was times where my talent really paid off, and like that throw to Kittrick-Taylor and some of those throws on that last drive, the throw to Sterling Sharp and in the playoffs at Detroit when I was rolling to my left. You know, Ty Detmer would always say, I would never make that throw. I would never have that touchdown because I would never even attempt it. I just know better. And where I would say, what's the big deal? And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But I was not afraid to take that chance. And, you know, had I not taken that chance on a lot of the times of my career, I'd have just been mediocre. I wouldn't have been good. I probably wouldn't have been bad. I just would have been, okay. And I'd much rather be what I am now than just okay.
Bust through something. You don't have to think a lot about any of this, but inquiring minds like my mind,
yeah,
want to know. Can you still juggle 3 footballs?
I can.
Does it take much practice?
No, it doesn't. It might just even take me 20 seconds or so to kind of get by.
Is it true you caught an alligator and like a little old fishing pole out in Rotten Bayou behind your mom's? And had plans to sell it and so forth?
I don't know if I had plans to sell it. But I think I had plans to, like, come look at our alligator. I didn't really think about it. It's an alligator. But, yeah, that is true.
Your mother was kind of bragging yesterday that you can pick up a softball with your toes. Is
you
that
know,
true?
I could. I could, but my feet are terrible feet, and I got a bunion on my big toe that has grown, you know, so big toe. So I can't spread them. It's kind of like that.
Final thing for you. What was it like rooming with a touchy-feely guy like Frankie?
I was so thankful when we went to shotgun that I didn't have to put my hands under his rear anymore. He would get in a bed, buck naked, and I had to watch him, like, climb it. And I'm like, Frank, really? Do it. I can't sleep in shorts. He was the best.